Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, it is true that we desire to honor you in everything that we say and do. We want to honor you with our lives, with our heart, with our eyes, and with our lips, Lord. Father, may we only speak the truth. May we speak the things that are pleasing to you. May we receive and listen to the things that you have to say. And Father, may we bend our will to your way. Father, we love you, praise you, honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you can bring the mic down just a little bit, we won't have as much. There's like a verge of feedback. It's almost on the verge of ringing. All right. Hey, I posted that we have an announcement to make, and I'm ecstatic because I've been praying all last week about this, but I wanted confirmation. And so here's what's going to happen. Hang on to your hats, folks. This Sunday, we're having service. That means people can come. You can come. Now, we're going to have restrictions. Now, you'd say, well, wait a minute. No, I talked to the authorities today. We talked. We looked over what Ducey's request was. And we will totally be within the limits of not violating anything. You know, he did say that religious establishments would definitely have some exemptions, and that's us. But we looked at it, we talked about it, and what we're going to do is I'll be giving you more details this week as to how we're going to do it. It'll probably be two services. We're going to limit the number of people per service. It'll be way more than 10. We just are going to ask that it be mandatory that everyone wear a mask. If you don't have a mask, we'll either give you one if we have some, or we'll have to ask you not to come in. But everyone will be wearing a mask. We'll have the seats separated further apart. We're going to limit the number of people per service. And everyone will hand sanitize as you walk in the door, and you'll leave the mask on. Except for the worship team when they're singing. That would be a little weird. But then when they leave the stage, they'll put it on. So anyways, I'll have all the details, but man, am I excited. This is the beginning. And by the way, if you haven't seen Michael Knowles report today on the Daily Wire, you need to see it because he gives a pretty convincing argument that we're at the end of this pandemic as far as the effects, and we'll begin to see the different states opening up. Cuomo said it, California governor said it, Texas governor said it, and a few others have followed suit. So, hey, praise the Lord, we're getting through this. So, next Sunday, this coming Sunday, if you're high risk or you're concerned about it, then by all means, stay at home and watch it via, you know, the video. But if you want to come and you want to enjoy some live worship and be here when the teaching, this Sunday we're going to make it so that some of you can come and we can have some limited fellowship. So pretty excited. Stay tuned. I'll be making some announcements, some video announcements here on Facebook and on YouTube so you can get more details. So there you go. Exciting times. All right. If you would please open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to finish. Well, you know what? Honestly, I'm not sure we're going to finish the chapter, but I'm going to go as far as I can. And I've entitled our message, The Whole Truth and Nothing But the Truth. And you'll see why as we go through this. But we're going to break our verses into several divisions here, seven. The alliance, the act, the amendment, the anger, the attack, the admirable, and the ancestor. And today, as we're looking at here at 1 Kings chapter 22, remember in the previous chapter, Ahab, this evil, wicked king, he repented before God. He repented. He came, and God showed mercy upon him. And you go, yeah, that is awesome. Well, look at how short-lived his repentance is as we move through here, as he refuses to hear and listen to truth. Now, There's a story. This is teacher sent home a note to the parents and said this: if you don't believe everything, if you promise that you won't believe everything your child says happens in my classroom, then I promise I won't believe everything your child says happens at your home. I think that's a pretty fair trade, because children can sometimes make it quite interesting when they like to exaggerate. And sometimes they even tell the truth and they don't need to exaggerate. But I just thought it was interesting. Listen, the truth is important. Brothers and sisters, and so often in this world today, modern day times, with people, so often, you know, they bend the truth. You know, we bend the truth. Little white lies. You know, it was a half truth. Well, listen, all of that, it can be very, very dangerous. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 says this: he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And listen, we don't want to be false witnesses. As we move through here, we want to give the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God, of course. It's important. You know, we've seen in movies played out, or even in during the inauguration, they put their hand on the Bible and they swear when they become a president. Well, in movies, whenever there's a court scene, there's usually this, you know, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, under pains and penalties of perjury? And we see the person say, yeah, and then they go and lie through their teeth. And it's like swearing anymore, taking a solemn oath before God or on the Bible, seems to not mean anything. And we understand when people who don't believe in God, don't believe in the Bible, when they do that, we can kind of, you know, we go, okay. But how horrible when it is people who claim to believe in the living God, in Jesus Christ, and they bend the truth or flat out lie or do the little white lie or make excuses or they exaggerate. Really not good. It's not very becoming of us. So here we're going to see here a new character is going to be introduced to us, one that I really like. I love Jehoshaphat, especially when we get into Chronicles, some great stuff there. But here we have the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And let's look at the alliance in verse 1 through 9. Now, 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. Now, this Jehoshaphat, great guy, awesome guy. Listen, he at this time, he's in his 30s. He has succeeded his father, who was Asa, and Asa was a good king. He's become the fourth king over Judah, and Jehoshaphat is a successful ruler. He is going to be a successful king. Why? Well, for one very simple reason. He is successful because he follows the commands of God. So important. Now, I also want you to know this. Although he's very godly, he's also very gullible. And I go, yay, I like that, because I can be gullible at times. I think we all can, and we'll see that. Now, remember, his dad, Asa, was the first good king over Judah. And he set a great example for his son, because his son also becomes a very godly king. Now, can you imagine? When you look at Jehoshaphat, his name means Jehovah has judged. And you go, okay, that's cool. But think about this. Back in those days, all these people had really cool names. They had names like Jehovah is judge, governed by God, God is my rock. Who is like God? Can you imagine if today we walked around and that's what people's names were? Hey, how are you, governed by God? How are you, God is my rock? God is my savior. It would be hard to be an atheist if everyone's name was that. It would be hard to be an idol worshiper. It's like, hey there, God is my rock. What are you doing? It's like, nothing. But yet, though all these people, and you're going to see, we're going to pick apart some of the names. We're not going to do all of them. There's a lot here. But some of these names actually proclaim who God is. And here we have Jehoshaphat, which means God has judged. And yet, as it was back then, is the same as it is now, where people will still fall away from God, even being reminded on a daily basis who God is by the names, by what they named different people. Now, side note, notice here it says, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And you go, okay, wait, hold on a second. Isn't Israel to the north? Can you show that one picture I have of the map? There. So you see, Judah is down south. And by the way, notice Jerusalem is in Judah. But Israel is all the northern tribes. So why does it say he went down to Israel? Well, because anytime in Scripture, if you're going to Jerusalem, you're going up to Jerusalem. And if you're leaving Jerusalem, you're going down, no matter which direction you're going. One, because it was an elevated, it's elevated geographically. But more importantly, because to leave Jerusalem is to go in a spiritual descent. Jerusalem is the pinnacle of God's providence. It's where God has chosen to put his temple. It's where Jesus will return on the Mount of Olives when he does return to take. So it is a very high and holy land. But of all the places, definitely Jerusalem. And so we also see here that Jehoshaphat is going to go to Ahab, and Jehoshaphat is a godly guy, and he's going down to an ungodly guy. So just like with Jonah, when he went down in the ship, and he went down into the water, and he went down into the fish, it's always down in a spiral when you're not walking with God. And so here, Jehoshaphat is going down to King Ahab. Now, I got to ask, why is a godly dude like Jehoshaphat going to meet with an ungodly dude? Remember, Ahab is the most ungodly ever to rule over the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel. He's a bad, bad dude. And of course, he's got that amazing wife, Jezebel. And so you'd think, well, why would he go? But yet he does. And watch the conversation. It's very interesting here. Verse 3. And the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you not know that Ramoth in Gilead is yours? But we hasten," listen to this, "we hasten to take it out of the king, out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are. My people are your people. My horses are your horses." Wow. If you are with us and you remember that the king of Syria had said that he would restore the city to Israel as a sign of peace and surrender. He said this back in 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 34. I'm going to read it to you back in 1 Kings chapter 20. We're in 22, so you go back two chapters if you want to follow along and read verse 30. "So Ben-Hadad said to him, 'The cities which my father took from your father I will restore. And you may set up a marketplace for yourself in Damascus, and as my father did in Samaria.' Then Ahab said, 'I will send you away with this treaty.' So he made a treaty with him and sent him away." And remember, that is why this prophet, this unknown prophet, came to him and said, "Hey, Ahab, what are you doing? You were supposed to wipe him out." Well, look at here. He didn't keep his word. He didn't give it back. He was supposed to wipe him out. He didn't. It wasn't returned, and now they want it. Listen, here's the point. The point is this. You and I have sin in our life. If we hang on to that sin, and that's what this is a picture of, we hang on to that sin, guess what? It's going to come back around to bite us on the lower backside. It will. Listen, he was supposed to wipe out. Had he wiped out the king, then he would have had that land and they wouldn't have to fight for it now. This fight that he's about to get involved in is going to take his life. Yikes. Listen, if you and I don't wipe out sin of our out of our life, it will come back to bite us. It's like the sin of lying. One person put it this way. Those who stretch the tooth, or the tooth, you could say. Those who stretch the truth will find that it often snaps back. Listen, we cannot stretch the truth. We cannot hang on to sin. We cannot hang on to these lies. We cannot do these things and not expect it to bite us later on. And here, it is going to bite him in the worst way possible. But he asked this godly king, Jehoshaphat, to join him. Now, I think that's a kind of good thing on the part of Ahab. Listen, if I was going to go and get involved in war, sure, I'd want to bring more along, right? If you're going to go to a battle, you want some backup. But how about having a godly person back you up? That's pretty cool. So he's not too far off the mark, kind of. Verse 5. Also, Jehoshaphat said, now remember, Jehoshaphat said, hey, my horses are your horses. Mi casa es tu casa, is basically what he's saying. Well, let's team up. We're brothers, we're both Jews, but you're sinful. And by the way, we shouldn't be unequally yoked. What do you mean by that? Listen, I hear people all the time, they go into business with someone who is not saved, and then they wonder why their business is failing. They wonder why they're struggling. Listen, we cannot be unequally yoked. It's not good. But perhaps Jehoshaphat's thinking, hey, he repented in the last chapter. He's saying a little bit of God this, God that kind of stuff. Well, look. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire of the word of the Lord today. Ooh, good advice. See that, Joseph? Okay, hey, you want to go to war? How about we do this? How about we see what God has to say about this? I like that guy. Verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, now, put your brakes on. Remember that what Elisha did with the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, right? Wiped them out. But remember, Jezebel kept her very special prophets that ate at her table. She kept them back. Dun, dun, dun. There they are. There they are. 400 prophets, but they've kind of changed their tune a little bit. Watch. So the king, verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver into your hand of the king, into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, love Jehoshaphat, watch it. Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? It's like, okay, I see these guys, they may be saying Lord, but they're not God's prophets. Is there even one like prophet of the Lord here? Can I get a prophet of the Lord? Is there a doctor in the house? It's kind of what he's saying. I love his discernment. He's like, let's inquire of the Lord. Brings 400. He doesn't go, wow, 400 dudes said we should go and fight. No, he's like, look, I need just one guy who's willing to listen to the Lord. That's who I want to follow. Listen, I love Jehoshaphat's discernment. He doesn't get wowed by the numbers. 400 dudes, that's a lot. And they're saying the name of the Lord. The Lord said, go. He's not buying it. Listen, have you ever met a Christian? They kind of have fixed the will of the Lord in their mind so they can get their way. You ever meet that? There's someone who says, oh, I know the Lord wanted it. The Lord wants me to do this. The Lord wants me to do that. And it's like, that don't sound like the Lord to me. They're going to do what they want. And they'll even say, yes, I've been praying. But they may be praying, but they ain't listening. They're praying, God, I want to go do this. So I'm going to do this. I hope you join me. No. No. They have set what they want to do in motion. And they're not seeking one. They're not seeking godly advice. And they're telling God what they're going to do, not what God wants us to do. Listen, I'll tell you right now, 9 times out of 10, what God wants me to do, I don't want to do because it's hard. But for the person who has set in their heart that they're going to do what they want to do, it doesn't care who tells them otherwise or if it's a word from the Lord, they're going to make a way to do what they want to do, and we're going to see that unfold. And it's always tragic. Every time I've seen someone go and do something that is not of the Lord, it's tragic because people are affected, not just the one. Watch. Verse 8. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, oh, there's still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I don't like the guy. Why? Well, because he just says bad things. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. I like that. He's like, dude, wait. You mean there's a godly guy, someone who actually hears from the Lord, and you don't want to hear him because he says things that you don't like? Come on, man, don't be like that. Micaiah, his name means who is like God. I like that. His daddy's name, Imlah, who God will fill up. I like that. Gosh, we need to go back to this. You know what? I think we need to have more kids, hon. We'll name them God. She looked and she got scared a moment. I'm joking. We'll adopt. I'm joking. Can we get another puppy? God will save. A pit bull. Get him, God will save. I hope God saves you. He's almost there. Okay, anyways. Because if not, my dog's going to hurt you. No, okay. So anyways, cool names. But he says, let not the king say such things. Dude, don't say that. Don't be like that. We need to hear from the Lord. Listen, Ahab doesn't have a problem with Micaiah. He has a problem with the Lord. Look what he says. Because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil. When you don't like what God wants, do you call it evil? That's what some people do. Pastor Randy, if you loved me, you would support me. You want me to support you in your sin? Yeah. No. Listen, what he's doing here, this is emotional manipulation. You ever experienced some of that? No. Yeah. People do it all the time. They start to cry. They want to get their way. They get angry, put their fist through the wall. Oh, that'll get your way. Listen, we can't do any of those things. These are emotional manipulation. The truth doesn't care about our feelings. And it shouldn't. Because my feelings are waning and waxing. One day I'm up, the next day I'm down. One day I'm happy, one day I'm sad. One day I'm secure, one day I'm worried. But the truth of God doesn't change. Brothers and sisters, do you want the whole truth and nothing but the truth? You're going to get it. Verse 9. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. Now, I want to point out something. We'll look at this a little. Hang this on your belt. Some commentators believe that he was in prison at this time. Because Ahab didn't like the words that he heard from Micaiah, that he had him in prison. And you're going to see why we're going to think that a little later. But I want you to hang that on your belt. But notice here, the exclamation mark. I believe this is sarcasm and conviction mixed together, right? Because he says, look, I don't want that guy. I don't want him because he says nothing but bad things. And then here comes this godly king and says, come on, man, don't act like that. Of course you want to hear the word of God. And he says, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. Fine. You'll see. Those who are not willing, listen, those of us who are not willing to retract our opinion love ourselves more than we love the truth. That's the truth. If you are not willing to change your opinion, to change your direction, to listen to godly advice, then you love your own will more than you love the truth of God, and that is fact. And here we have an example, but he's going to give in. He's going to give in. Oh, here's the sad part. This godly guy, Jehoshaphat, is also going to kind of, remember I said he's kind of gullible? He's going to show his gullibility here in a moment. But in this, they should be wanting the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Let's look at the act in verse 10 through 16. And quite an act it is. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, so they put on their kingly robes. Very, 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 the robe that a king would wear would distinguish him from anyone else. It wasn't just a normal garb. When you saw a king in his robe, you could recognize that's a king. That's important. Hang that on your belt. And sat each on his throne at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now that's what you would do. The threshing floor at the front of the gate, that's a lot of times where court was held. That's where discrepancies were dealt with. So that's where they're at. Now, Zedekiah, the son of that guy, that guy, Zedekiah, his name means Jehovah is righteousness. Jehovah is righteous, but his dad's name means traitor. And he is going to live up to that. He is going to be a traitor of God's righteousness. Watch. Now, Zedekiah had made a horn of iron for himself and said, thus saith the Lord, with these you shall gourd Samaria until they are destroyed. The Samaritans. Wow. Here we have a prophet with props. This is basically an Old Testament carrot top, and neither one of them are funny. It's not funny. Listen, I'm really... Sometimes I'm surprised at the lengths that people will go in order to, pastors will go, or Christians will go in order to convince someone of something that is of God by using props, by using this and that. I had a dream, I had a vision. Listen, none of that matters if it doesn't come to pass. But here, Zedekiah, he fashioned some horns to try and convince the king. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver into the king's hand. Will deliver it into the king's hand. So these guys, by the way, our Lord here, although you have the New King James, it should be all caps. Why? Because this is actually the unmentionable name of the Lord. Some people say it's Yahweh. Some people say Jehovah. Honestly, we don't know. We don't know. You can embrace either, you can embrace both, but basically it's the unmentionable name. They did that on purpose. They didn't want anyone to know the name of God to where they could then profane it. But here, these false prophets are using the unmentionable name, either Yahweh or Jehovah. They're using his name, and it's wrong. They're speaking presumptuously of God without God leading them. Folks, I see this happening all the time. They're excited about using the name of God. They even have one prophet with horns saying, he's going to let you gouge like a bull in a china shop. Listen, 400 men, all of them prophesying one thing, saying one thing. They're all in one accord saying, go do it. You're going to have victory. Thus saith Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of gods. Man, these guys have, remember, these were false prophets. They've kind of changed their tune, huh? After Elijah wiped out 450 of their buddies, they're like, we better get on board with his God. And then, of course, King Ahab repented, sort of. So they're probably also going, well, he repented. We better start talking about that one. Whatever the case is, they certainly sound like a different group of guys. Verse 13. Then the messenger who had gone and called Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the word of the prophet with one accord, encouraging the king. Please let your words be like the words of one of them and speak encouragement. Hey, dude, come here. The king wants to hear you. He wants you to come and talk to him about what God says. But do me a favor. There's 400 of us, and we all agree. And wouldn't you agree that if we all agree, you should agree? That's what he's saying. He's like, look, get on board. Don't cause any waves. Don't make us look bad, and don't make you look bad. Come on, can 400 of us be wrong? Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. Come on, man. Everyone's doing it. Other Christians agree. 4 out of 5 pastors agree. Chewing trident. No. No, folks, you can't. Listen, he's telling them don't cause waves. You know what? The truth always causes waves. And what so often happens, and we're going to see that Micaiah is going to fold. He's going to bend. He's going to cave. Listen, the pressure comes along for you and I in our lives to want to cave and follow the crowd. And oftentimes what Christians do is they give a half-truth, right? You ever have that? Well, I just bent the truth. Listen, beware of half-truths because you may grab hold of the wrong half. It's not good. We need to dwell in pure truth, absolute truth, God's truth. And here's the thing, folks, as hard as this is for you to palate, and for me to palate, sometimes in order to grab hold of God's truth, I have to let go of my wants, my desires. And I have to say, God, remember Jesus, what did he say? Father, if there be any other way, nevertheless, what? Thy will be done. And we are what? Christians, Christ-like. You may be in a situation, you're like, oh, God, is there any other way? And he's like, no, there's really not. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. And you're like, but it don't feel like it. Because I don't know what you're doing. And he's like, you don't need to know. You just need to obey. But that's so hard. Yeah. But that's where faith comes from. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Boy, that's good. Yes. Yes. He says, look, dude, I know there's 400 of you. I know you don't want me to cause waves, but I'm sorry. Whatever God tells me, that's what I'm going to speak. Isn't that great? Shouldn't that be you and I? But be honest. There are times when you're in a crowd and you're like, ooh, if I speak of God, all these people are going to turn against me and they're not going to like me anymore. And you go, okay, I'll cave. Half truth. Verse 15. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered, and I can almost hear how he answered. Although there's an exclamation point, there must be something. Watch. I think he said, yeah, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver you into the hand of the king. He knows it's going to make the king mad. He knows all the other prophets are going to freak out. He has encountered the king before, and he may have possibly even just come out of prison, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. But he doesn't want to speak the truth because he's concerned. Listen, don't ever be afraid to speak the truth. What do we know about the truth? According to Jesus, in John 8:32 says this, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Well, here's what I want to add. I'm not adding to what Jesus said, because that is true. I'm adding to what I know happens. The truth will set you free, but it's going to make you mad first. I'll tell you, the first 3 months that I was going to Calvary Chapel Houston and my pastor, Pastor Ron, was speaking the truth, giving out the gospel, speaking about what God's word said every Sunday. And Desiree can tell you, every Sunday I drove home mad. I'm not going back to that place. That pastor doesn't know what he's saying. Why? The truth was setting me free, but it was also making me mad because it hurt. It went against everything that I liked, I loved, and everything that I thought was good. And so I was kind of like King Ahab. I didn't like Pastor Ron because what he said was true. Now I love Pastor Ron because I know what he said was true. See how you grow? The question today is, do you want the whole truth and nothing but the truth, my brother and sisters? Then be prepared for it to hurt sometimes. In fact, be prepared for it to hurt most of the time. Now let's look at the amendment in verse 16 through 23. So he has just told them, yeah, go ahead and battle. But look what the king says. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Okay, whoa, he just told you, go up and fight. But see, here's the thing. The king must have sensed a lack of genuineness, a lack of conviction, and a lack of authority. And it's like, no, I know this guy. When he speaks up for the Lord, there's an authority. When he speaks of the Lord, there's not this kind of shyness or this sarcasm. He just comes right out. And so Micaiah probably said to him, you know what? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Why? Because watch what's going to happen. Because that's exactly what happens. He can't handle the truth. He's going to blow a fuse. He's going to have a conniption. He's going to have a cow. Verse 17. He's like, okay. All right. You want to know? You want to know the truth? You called a prophet? You got 400 dudes telling you with their little, you know, carrot top props telling you to go find. No, I was just agreeing. Because that's what I figure you. Okay, you want the truth. Here you go. Verse 17. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountain as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house. Notice he says, as sheep that have no shepherd. What he's saying is there, Israel, they have no leader. They don't even have a king. Whoa. There's a good principle here. Even under shepherds, pastors. I'm not the good shepherd. No pastor is the good shepherd. We're under shepherd. There's one good shepherd, Jesus. But if the pastor isn't leading the sheep to Jesus. He's not a pastor at all. Here we have a king who repented, but he's not leading the people to Jesus. He's leading the people, or leading people to God, Jehovah. He's leading people by seeking counsel from ungodly men. Not good. I don't care how many are following. If they're not following God's leading, it can make all the sense in the world to them. But if it's not following God's leading, it's a mess. And that's what they have here. He says, they don't have a shepherd. They have someone seeking their own. They have a king seeking his own pride, his own position, his own will. And there should never be a pastor who is seeking that. Every pastor should be wanting to lead the sheep to the good shepherd. That's what being. So he said, you're not a king. You're just a guy that's got power. That's basically what he said. Verse 18. And the king, look at this. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Didn't I tell you? I told you. Look at him. Listen to him. Now, here's my question. You know, remember Jehoshaphat is a good guy. He's a godly guy. It was his idea. Call a prophet of God. You would think that he would chime in and say, but Ahab, isn't that truth, though? Do you not hear the truth? We should listen. But notice he keeps silent. Why? He's under pressure. Under pressure. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, I'm sorry. I think songs. Pushing down on me. Well, that's what he's feeling. You ever feel pressure? You ever feel pressure? And you waver a little bit in your Christian walk and you're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be thinking like this. I shouldn't be going along with this. Stop. Verse 19. Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Watch this. This is wow. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by, on his right hand and on his left. Now, please hold that on your belt. Hang that. We're going to revisit that. The host of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. Very important that we make this distinction here in a moment. But for right now, let's just keep going. Watch. So here we have Micaiah. He's having a vision of what? Heaven. And so if you've ever read this book by Frank Peretti, a lot of people liked it. I could only get like halfway and it just wasn't my cup of tea. But the principle was really great. The principle was that while we're walking around, there's these battles going on. It's called Frank Peretti's This Present Darkness is the name of the book. I read half of it. His writing style wasn't mine, but a lot of people loved it. It was like on a bestsellers list for Christians for a long time. But it's a fictional book. And while these people are going around their Christian lives, angels are going to battle. And whenever someone would pray, the battle for the angels would be in their benefit. The angels would, kind of like when Moses would hold up, when they held up his arms, the battle would win. And when it came down, well, when we go to prayer, the angels are empowered by our prayer, which is a mind-blowing thought. But so he kind of rips back the veil. And he says, you want to know what I saw was going on when all this? Let me show you. So he says, the host of heaven, some on the right, some on the left, verse 20. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramath Gilead. So one spoke in this manner, another spoke in that manner. So I go, oh no, you're going to go, I ain't going to go. These are all to heaven. They're all, verse 21. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. Watch this. And the Lord said to him, in what way? Now, of course, God is showing us something. It doesn't have to play out. God knows everything. But this is the way God likes to ask questions. You know what God loves to do? Make us think. You ever see that? Jesus, as you read through Jesus, they'd come ask Jesus a question. What would he do? He'd ask them a question. He knows the answer. Sorry, folks. He knows the answer. So just this is God showing, teaching us, getting us to think. So the Lord says to him, in what way? And he says, I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. What? Wait. A lying spirit? Now, there's a lot going on here, and I'm going to do my best to unpack this. I'm not going to be able to unfold it all. You can do it, but there's a lot going on. First of all, think about this. Ahab, shouldn't he go, what are you telling me? That all my these prophets, that they're speaking to me about going to war that we would have, and that's a lying spirit? There's lying spirits in my prophets telling me to go to war? What should his response be? Shouldn't he say, well, I ain't going to war. Not me. What if you needed advice and you had like four or five people come and give you advice, but then a prophet of God, let's pretend I could be a prophet of God, but I came and I told you, oh, I got to tell you something. I was praying for you and God told me that there were lying spirits that were giving you advice. Are you going to follow that advice? Are you going to hate me for warning you? I hate you, Pastor Randy. Tell me this, that those counselors are lying spirits. Like, bro, broette. I'm just telling you what the Lord told me. You would think Ahab would go, bing. Okay, I better listen. Watch this. Oh, real quick. And notice this, by the way. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. What? You got to ask. Wait. What do you mean God put a lying spirit? I thought God couldn't lie. I thought God was great. I thought God wouldn't do something like that. I thought God wouldn't tempt anyone. Remember I told you to hang on your belt? Verse 19, look back at verse 19 for a second, please. The host of heaven standing by his right hand and on his left. And you say, yeah, so what? Remember that there in heaven, there's going to be a separation of sheep from goats. The sheep go to the right hand and the goats to the left hand. Because in heaven right now, there are demons making accusations against us. Do you realize what Satan means? What devil means? What Lucifer means? It means the accuser of the brethren, which means Satan lives to accuse you and I before God. Well, look at what Randy did. Look at how he got angry. Look at how he told a little white lie. Look at how he bends the truth. Look at him. And the devil's ever living to accuse us while Jesus is ever lives to intercede for us. And you say, whoa, what are you talking about? You're saying that there are demons standing before God? Well, they used to be angels. Let me prove it to you. So you go, Pastor Andy, I'm really having a hard time swallowing it. Don't swallow it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Probably a verse you're very familiar with, you know, put on the whole armor of God, that whole thing. Well, verse 6, chapter 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality powers. Now, by the way, these are different rulers. These are different demonic forces. So we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in what? Heavenly places. They go before heaven, before God. Listen, even demons know that God is God. How do they know? They were there. Remember Job. Remember Job? Who stood before God accusing Job? Satan. It isn't until Revelation that God kicks Satan out. He can't even enter back into heaven to make an accusation against anyone. That doesn't mean he comes into direct presence. He has to stand away from God because God cannot have fellowship with darkness. And understand, fellowship is a heart thing, not in proximity of. That's why Jesus could be with prostitutes and tax collectors. He wasn't having fellowship with them. He was preaching the gospel. That's why I could go to different places and preach the gospel, because I wasn't having fellowship with them. I was trying to get them saved. See the difference? And so here, what we have is we have a demon standing before God. We have angels and demons. Angels on the right, demons on the left. And he says, who's going to go? Who's going to cause? And he's causing them to think. And I love, even in heaven, God's going to, we're not going to be there, oh, God, God, and not think. God likes, he likes us to use our faculties. He likes us to serve him. And he likes us to think. And he will ask questions. And so he says, hey, who's going to go? And when some demon spirit says, hey, I'll go. I'll be a lying spirit. And God says, okay, you can go. But he's still subject to God. But God isn't the liar. The demonic spirit is lying. But even know this, folks. When you are attacked from the demonic realm, God has allowed it, and he will give you victory if you trust in him. That's what's happening here. Here we have Ahab being attacked by demonic spirits lying to him. And instead of turning to God, he's going to succumb to the lie, which is going to be his undoing. He doesn't want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. He wants things that are going to make him feel good. Let's look at the anger in verse 24 through 28. Now Zedekiah, the son of that guy, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek. Wow, how nice. He goes and shares the word of God and he gets punched in the face. And said, which way did the spirit come from? Which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? Once again, God is showing the incredible amount of grace to King Ahab. If he would listen, God has sent a prophet to show him what was going on behind the scenes. Isn't that God's grace? Why would God send the prophet? Why would God, you know, God didn't even have to show Micaiah this stuff. But he showed it so that he could share it with the king, so that the king would go, what am I doing? I need to change my direction. Verse 25. And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. Oh, he says, King, you'll see. You're going to hide like a little mouse in the inner chamber. You're going to be afraid. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah. Look at this important word here. Return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. He's like, put him back in jail. That's kind of what he's saying. So I believe that he was in jail, pulled him out of jail, didn't like what he said, said, send him back in, but this time give him like nasty bread, affliction, and dirty water of affliction. Make it worse for him in there. Increase his pain in prison. In other words, do whatever it takes to make this guy hurt while he's in your presence. Wow, what a nice. Someone gives you the word of the Lord and you hate him. I can relate to that. So often there are people, I just tell them the truth. I'm not trying to be mean. I got nothing to prove. And people will hate me because I say the truth without wavering, and I will never, ever, ever waver on what the word of God says, even if it hurts your feelings. I'm sorry. So if you want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, come and talk to me. But if you can't handle the truth, don't come and talk to Pastor Randy. Go find a different pastor. But Micaiah said, watch this. If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all my people, all you people. He should have said, all my people, God's people. He says, this, if you return in peace, but you ain't gonna, you're gonna die. Because you're listening to the lies. You're listening to a demon who wants to tear your life apart. Yay. It's gonna take you to your death. Folks, we really need to heed the Spirit of God. Let's look at the attack in verse 29 through 40. And this is amazing, and I think that's as far as we're going to be able to go today. So the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, and the king of Judah went up to Ramoth Gilead. So they're going to go to war. God has revealed what is going on behind the scene. He's shown him mercy and grace. This is, by the way, the king in the last chapter who has supposedly repented, and God showed him grace. But obviously it was short-lived. Why? 3 years have gone by and nothing has happened. Verse 30. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle. But you put on your robes. I want everyone to know you're the king. But I'll pretend to just be a regular soldier. Okay. So much wrong with this. Men in their pride. First of all, he's like, well, I'm not going to hide in my inner chamber like that prophet said. I'll go to battle, but I'll hide in a disguise. He can't even fool himself. Can't even fool himself. He's still hiding, just in a different place. So the king of Israel puts a disguise on himself and went to battle. And he tells Jehoshaphat, you don't disguise yourself. I want everyone to know you're king. Watch. Now the king of Syria had commanded 32 captains of his chariots, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. You know what he says? Soldiers, come here. Just bypass. Now the chariots are the ones that you would have. This is basically tanks. Roll over all the soldiers and get to the king. Don't worry about captains and general. You find that king, you zoom in on him, you sniper him, you take your chariot, you mash over people, and you get to that king and you take his head. Because once we take out the king, everything's done. The battle is won. Good strategy. And he tells his chariots, because they could just plow. Hard to kill a guy on a chariot. They'd have blades on the side of the wheels, and they'd have one or two horses that are fully armored and very difficult. Verse 32. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat. They saw him what? Wearing his kingly robes. He's like a giant target. And King Ahab likes that. They said, surely it's the king of Israel. Therefore they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. Now, I love this. If we read the same account in Chronicles, it tells us that Jehoshaphat cried out to God. He cried out to God. He prayed to God. And God saved him. And it happened when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. That's a miracle. Folks, because in the heat of battle, most of the time they would say, okay, well, it's not the king we wanted, but it's still a king. That's a lot of power. We'll kill him. But they're like, oh, no, that's Jehoshaphat, or that's not King Ahab. We want King Ahab. And they turn away. That was God in that moment. And man, I'll tell you, I've seen before when God has put on someone's heart to do something out of the ordinary in my favor simply because I prayed. I love that. Verse 34. Watch this, please. The wording. Now a certain man, just some random dude, drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Wow. Here comes a dude. He's like, man, this battle's crazy. Hey, what are we going to do? Right between his armor. Like a bullet, like a laser, like it had some kind of homing device. But it was, you know, in a football game, when it's, you know, the last down and it's almost over and they just need one touchdown, and they'll send all their receivers like a clump, and the quarterback will just take it, and they call that a Hail Mary. He just toss it and hope that one of his guys catch it, not the enemy, so that they can run it in. This guy, random, might not even been looking. You know, he's like having a conversation. He should not even Legolas could have made a shot like this. Hawkeye. My wife goes, who? Never seen Lord of the Rings. So, oh, never mind. I'll stop. So he thought he could hide. Brothers and sisters, we can't hide. You can't hide from God's truth. You can't hide from the enemy. You can't hide sin. It's going to find you. It's going to get you. It's like Batman or Iron Man. Iron Man has all that iron, but still an arrow. There's one little spot that an arrow can get in. Well, listen, when there is sin, that arrow is going to find that point every single time. So he said to his driver of the chariot, I have sinned. I need to repent. Lord God, for no. He said to his driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle. I'm wounded. Can you imagine what he is thinking at that point? I wonder if he saw the other chariots going after Jehoshaphat. He's like, yeah, they're going to think that's me. I'll show God. And then they turn, what are they doing? Go get him. That's really me over there. No. And I wonder if at this time as he's going back and that is a fatal wound, if he's thinking, man, have I blown it? And I put God's prophet in prison. And the battle increased that day. And the king was propped up in his chariot. Oh, how nice. They propped him up. They make him look kingly as he's dying. Facing the Assyrians and died at evening. The blood ran out of the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then when the sun had gone down, a shout went throughout the army saying, every man to his city, every man to his own country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then some washed a chariot at the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up the blood while the harlots bathed in it. Oh, that's what the King James says. The harlots bathed according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken. You go, why does it tell us that? Well, because God is trying to make it very clear to us that sin has a horrible price to pay. There's nothing beautiful about it. There's nothing glamorous about it. Not only that, as a king, what it's saying, listen, for a Jew back then, to have an honorable death was highly important. And this is saying, not only did he not have an honorable death, he had an absolute horrible death. Sin caught up to this king and bit him on the lower backside. Verse 39. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, the ivory house which he built and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the books of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab rested with his father. And then Azariah, his son, reigned in his place. We're going to have to end there. I'm sorry. I was hoping we could finish, but we are way over time. But wow. Folks, here, if you pull anything away from tonight's message, the Word of God is true. The Word of God does not fail ever. And we have to ask ourselves if we want the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it hurts. Or do we want to hear a lie that makes us feel good and lets us live in our sin and then allows our sin to bite us and hurt us and destroy us? I pray to God that tonight the Lord has spoken to you about something, anything that you need to surrender. Maybe right now, tonight, you've been planning and moving in one direction and God is saying, I didn't tell you to go that direction. That is not of me, that is of you. And it's never going to turn out good if we do what is of us and not listen to what is of him. Please assess your plans, assess your sins, assess your life, listen to the Lord. And if you're not sure you can hear the Lord, go and seek someone who will pray on your behalf and listen if they give you godly, biblical, spiritual advice. And you know how you'll know it's godly advice? Because oftentimes it's not what you want, but it's what's best for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that we can assess our lives just as you gave an opportunity to King Ahab to assess his decision in his life and to weigh it out. Weigh out what you want as opposed to what he want. What made sense to him as to what makes sense and what is right to you. Father, your ways are above our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth are your ways above ours. And so, Lord, tonight I ask that all of us would take an assessment and that we would submit to your lordship. That we would submit to your kingdom, that we would submit to your truth. And so, Lord, I thank you for this time and your word. Go before us this weekend. Lord, we are excited about slowly getting back to doing church the way you intended us, to love on each other and to have fellowship and to break bread one with another. Oh, Lord, it's so good. Lord, it's so good. So go before us this week as we plan. And Lord, I look forward to seeing the faces of the people that I love so much here in your house, in a house of worship, in a house of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.